Good evening again. And we're going to speak about forgiveness a little bit, but before that, we'll just announce the meetings. Tomorrow night here we have youth group for people, it's grade 7 and up now, I believe. So I think that's the way you say it. And that's at 6:30, and then Thursday night, every Thursday night at 7:30, we have a Bible study. And this week it's Hebrews 7 and verse 10 or so. And then we have a meeting here Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, the Lord's Supper. So before we read from the Bible, we'll pray. Our Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the one that we owe everything to. And we stand here this morning, not because of anything good that we've done, but we sang that He died to make us good. And the very basis of our gathering here in this capacity, and the basis of this group that meets here, Christians gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus, it's all based upon Christ's work at Calvary. And if the Lord Jesus hadn't died in Calvary, we would not be here. We thank you that He did die. He paid a price for sin. And we think of how when we read through the story of the crucifixion, it doesn't affect us like it should, but sometimes we think about how much the Lord Jesus suffered so that we could be saved. So we pray for help tonight as we try to preach the gospel on behalf of our Lord Jesus, who is now in heaven and willing to save every single person. And we pray for each one that's listening, that they would not be distracted, but be able to listen clearly to the Word of God, and that they would understand what's expected of them in this gospel meeting, to be honest with themselves and honest with God, and to obey God, repent of their sins, and trust in the Lord Jesus. We think of them preaching in other places. Brother David preaching over in Nova Scotia, and Brody and them starting tonight in that city of Cleveland. And I just ask for a blessing upon them. We thank you again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So our first reading will be in Luke 17. And in my 17 minutes up here, I'm going to try to just quickly go through five different passages and talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness, or to be forgiven. And I've listened to the Tagalog enough in the gospel meetings on Saturday mornings to know that forgiveness is kapatawaran. There's your word for the day. It's a little bit hard to pronounce. But kapatawaran ng kasalanan, the forgiveness of sins. And I've heard my wife say that a number of times. So that's what we're talking about. Luke 17 and verse 3. We're just going to learn a principle here, a biblical principle. He says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." What's the biblical principle here? Repentance before forgiveness. But if there's repentance, there's always forgiveness. There's no forgiveness without repentance. So he says, if your brother, this is man to man or woman to woman. If a person does wrong and they repent, automatically you forgive. But if there's no repentance, if they don't repent, you don't forgive. So this is something that God is telling humans to do, because God is the one that does that. God doesn't wait until we do a certain amount of penance or suffer so much before He extends forgiveness. As soon as a person repents of their sin, God forgives. That's what we learn here. As soon as there's repentance, there's forgiveness. But repentance is necessary. So, come back four chapters to Luke chapter 13. And we're going to see that repentance and forgiveness are necessary. So we're going to read verse 1 to 5, and I'm not going to explain this whole passage, but just draw a few points from it. Luke 13, verse 1 to 5. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Terrible thing that had happened. There was people that were murdered in front of the temple. Verse 2, and Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? He said, do you think those Galileans who were murdered in cold blood were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? He says, I tell you, verse 3, I tell you, nay, no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Okay, so that we read the word sinners in verse 2. So sinners need to repent or they perish. Okay, verse 4. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them and killed them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Now that word for sinners is a different word than the one in verse 2. It's a word that is translated in many translations, debtors. He says, do you think they were debtors above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What do I want from this passage? Well, from the other one, if you repent, you're forgiven. But if you don't repent, you're not forgiven. Here, you repent or perish. If you don't repent or you perish. If you do repent, you will not perish. If you don't repent, you will perish. And so we can bring the two passages together and say that if you do repent, you'll be forgiven and you won't perish. But if you don't repent, you won't be forgiven and you will perish. So I'm going to take from this passage that we must repent, we must be forgiven, or we'll perish. If we don't have the forgiveness of sins, we will perish. But I drew attention to verse 4. The word sinners is debtors. We all have a debt of sin. That's what the passage is teaching. We have a debt of sin that's stacking up every single day. And we're going to go to a passage. Maybe I'll just have to just stop and explain repentance just for a moment. Repentance is a word that's highly misunderstood. Repentance doesn't just mean that you say sorry, okay? That's a very shallow explanation of the word repentance. Repentance, when I'm repenting towards God, is to say that, God, I am a sinner, just like you said. Everything you said about me in your word is true. I am guilty. I deserve where my sins are taking me. So I deserve to go to hell. And God, you are right, and I am wrong. All the things that I thought about you, God, were wrong up until now. But now that I'm going to agree with you, God, and whatever you say about me is true. That's what the biblical repentance is. To agree totally with what God says in this word about me. Okay. Let's come to Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to see an explanation, a parable of forgiveness, okay? So remember, sins are like a debt that's stacking up. So some of you young ones here don't know what debt is, but some of us older ones know all too well about what debt is. And we don't like it, but sometimes we can't help it. But here we're going to learn a little bit about what a debt is here. So Matthew chapter 18 and verse 23. Matthew 18 and verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. So we have a king. He has ultimate authority. He has a whole bunch of power because he has a big army and a lot of servants. So there's a king, which would take account of his servants. Take account. So this king is sitting on his throne one day and he says to his scribe or whoever's sitting next to him, his prime minister, he says, go and see how much all the people here owe me. Go and see how they are with me. Verse 24. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. Okay, it doesn't say if the talents were silver or gold. But a talent was the largest piece of money that you could have. The largest piece in any currency. So if this man owed 10,000 talents of gold, that would be, I don't know, $50 million or $100 million in our money. Or if it was 10,000 talents of silver, it could be $5 or $10 million. This is a lot of money, a big sum. So what had happened was this servant, I'm not sure how he racked up the debt, but somehow he started borrowing money or taking money from this king, whether he was working for him or he was buying things at his store, and his debt started to add up. And we used to hear, when I was younger, they used to talk about a ledger. Well, this is before my time, but back years ago, when you used to, and even still sometimes in Philippines, more so than here, if there's a little community store and people don't pay every time they go in, there's a list of people and what they owe. So if you went in and you bought a bottle of pop, they would write down, Timmy bought a bottle of pop, this is how much he owes. And if I did that every day, and maybe one day I went in and bought a bar of soap, and the next day I went in and bought a bag of chips, after a month or two, they'd have a whole long list of my debt. This is what happened with this thing. It was just day after day, month after month, year after year, his debt was adding up. Until it was so big that it was impossible for him to pay. Impossible. So this man is sitting in his house every day wondering, when is that king going to realize how much I owe him? Because when he does, it's pretty much off with my head. And that's exactly almost what happened. The king put him in prison. But I want to bring this over to the sin, okay? So every one of us, from the youngest child till the oldest person here, if we're not saved, if we've never had our sins forgiven, we could go back over our life and there's sins that we know that are on our account, that are stacked up in order before God. God has them all wrote down in heaven, every single sin. But then there's millions of sins that we didn't even realize we committed. And God has them all written down. So every single person here that's not saved, that doesn't have their sins forgiven, your sins are so big. You don't even know how big a pile or how long a list God has of your sins. But it's a debt that you cannot pay. Impossible to pay that debt. So, I'll have to keep reading here. Verse 25, but forasmuch as he had not to pay. This is what I've been saying. He couldn't pay it. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Well, this is going back to the days where they sold people into slavery. So the king put him on the auction block and sold him into slavery. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Well, he could never have paid it. So I don't know why he said that. But verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him. He took the handcuffs off and he let him go. And it says he forgave him the debt. That's what forgiveness is. Is our long list, our big pile of sins in God's sight. If God forgives us, he wipes the debt clean. That's what forgiveness is. Is all the debt that's totally wiped away. No more. You know, to forgive means to, in the Old Testament, the word forgive, I was looking it up today. It's a word that means to lift. So there's a burden that I'm carrying. And when I'm forgiven, when God forgives me the debt, he lifts the burden off my back and he drops it. Or in the New Testament, the word forgive is to send away. So when God forgives, it's something like a thick cloud that's over my head of sins. And then when God forgives me, he sends that cloud away. Sends it away, it's as far as the east is from the west. Now, I got to move quickly. Luke chapter 24. And I'm probably speaking too quickly and going over this too quickly, but forgive me. So we're still talking about forgiveness. And we're going to read here in verse 46 and verse 47. And it says, this is Jesus, the Lord Jesus speaking, and said unto them, thus it is written, that's in the Old Testament scriptures, and thus it behoved. That word behoved means it was necessary. It was totally essential. It was a must. It was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So the Lord Jesus had to suffer for our sins, and he had to rise from the dead the third day in order for the next verse to be possible. And what's the next verse say? Verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance, I've already said that. So here the Lord Jesus is saying that I'm commanding you men to preach repentance in all the world. And then he says, not only repentance, but preach remission of sins. Remission of sins, that's the same as what we're talking about, forgiveness. To remit is to send away, is to forgive. Should be preached in his name. So why does it say in his name? Well, this is just like the great king that we've just been talking about. The great king, and we're all his subjects, God's subjects, and we all owe him a great debt of sins. And God has sent his son into the world to die and to suffer on our behalf. And now, on the authority of the Lord Jesus, God is extending forgiveness to the whole world. And everyone who will repent and accept God's forgiveness will receive it. God is saying that every person in this meeting and every person in O'Leary and in PEI and in the whole world can be forgiven of all their sins without working and without paying, but just by obeying what he says, repent and believe the gospel. It's possible through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my time is gone, but I wanted to read one verse in Psalm 32. And here's the happiness, the joy of forgiveness. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We'll read the next verse. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. The man who's forgiven is a happy man, because that debt has been cleared away. The burden has been lifted. The black cloud above his head is gone. And there's a clear sky between me and heaven. And I know I have a home in heaven when I die. No sins left on my account. And it says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. The Lord doesn't see any sin in me anymore, because I've been forgiven based on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening.